Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Half Ashed. My name is Craig Schneider. That gentleman, 1,800 miles southeast of me. Southeast? Southeast. I think we settled on just southeast. Why can't I remember the cold open?
I don't know. I mean, it's only been 186 times now.
Well, that guy who's giving me flack right now is Kip Fisher. You know him. You've heard him before. We're half ashed. I suck at this opening. How are you?
I'm all right, I reckon. I seem to be sitting in the darkness tonight. I'm just this ephemeral voice floating through the vast ether of the interwebs. Videoless, bodiless.
For those of us who really have had the week where we don't want to hear ethereal and floating bodiless, can you just tell us what the hell's going on?
Yeah, it's a non-issue for the 99.999% of our audience that just listens through the audio publication anyway, but there's no video for me tonight. So I had an early concern today that there may be a power outage tonight, and now I have power but no video, so it still looks like I'm just sitting in the dark.
And I have to say, I might need to take some of the blame for this, because I did absolutely jinx it by saying, oh yeah, in our 186 episodes, we've never had a power outage cause a problem. So we still haven't technically, but for some reason I feel like this might be my fault.
Yeah, I blame the hipsters.
Ah, gosh, I always blame the hipsters. Oh, well. Well, hey, we are 2 minutes into the show, and I am already performing surgery on our cigar of the week. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I guess it matters what the surgery is.
Yeah, I guess it just goes to show that I can ruin everything. Ruin? I don't know if I ruined this.
Surely not.
I'm ruining. How about that?
You're still actively pursuing the ruination.
All right, it's not that bad. Let's see if anybody can make this out on the video. If you watch the video, gosh, I gotta say, that binder is just about the same dang color as the wrapper on this, except it just has no sheen. That's pretty unique. Usually you see a dark to light or light to dark contrast. But, oh well. Anyways, I have taken off the inch closest to the foot of the cigar that we're smoking in the hope that something changes. And when we introduce the cigar of the week in a little bit, I will talk a little bit about why it is that I've done that. But before we get there, how the heck are you doing?
I'm all right, I reckon. How about yourself?
Yeah, I can't complain. I haven't had bad headaches all week, and oh, you got skirted by a hurricane, didn't you? The end of last week, I guess.
Not really. I mean, that is nothing but rain. For us, it wasn't even that much rain in Santiago.
Oh, really?
Down south, they got a good bit. But we didn't get a whole lot. We had basically one good day of rain. That was it.
You have or have not entered the dry season yet?
Have not really. I mean, it was dry all summer. That's really seems to be the pattern the last couple of years. Summertime has not been as wet as normal. Long about January and early February, we're going to get real wet normally.
How much is that a rule versus just a normal colloquial? The January, February time is wet for us.
No, it's like, wear different shoes in February. It's always muddy and wet.
No joke. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of sucky. I thought that February into March was the end of tobacco season. No?
Yeah, it is. And like, I remember all those years of coming down for CFC. That's usually about when it was, and the fields were universally muddy. But it's weird. I mean, it's hit or miss. The rules seem to have as many exceptions as actual rules these days with the weather here.
Yeah, it seems like just in the time that you've been there, everything seems to be upside down.
Well, October is traditionally a really hot month, which makes no sense in the world to me. But I thought people were insane when we first moved here and they told me that. I said, there's no freaking way it's October. But it turns out it's largely true. It gets really nasty and muggy here about that time.
Well, I hate to break up the weather conversation, but I'm getting crap about a gray shirt again. So, look, there's a light. It's on my shirt. If you're on the video, you can tell. It's blue. All right? All right?
There. Yeah. Nothing blue on my screen.
I hate all of you.
It may be the light in your room. It just makes everything gray.
Oh, it's got to be the light in my room. I've used two different cameras, and it still always looks blue. Ay-yay-yay. Well, hey, we're smoking a cigar of the week tonight, and I believe we previewed this on our last show, but care to remind the fellers?
Yeah, we are smoking something that we cannot name, and I don't mean we will not name it. I mean,
you're bad at this. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you.
We're smoking Unbanded number 36, supplied by Zedman, who has patiently waited for the better part of 2 years, I think, for this cigar to come up in the rotation. And it almost had become a badge of honor not to smoke it, but we finally have given in and have decided to light these up tonight. mine measures out about 6 inches and a light 48 or a heavy 46 kind of ring. Uniformly medium brown, light on the, even on the lighter scale of medium brown, maybe, colored very, very evenly. I did make a note that the wrapper actually really, I initially said it telegraphs every little cranny underneath, and it does. But I also am noticing now the veining is very irregular. I mean, on a very small level, on a very small scale, the veins are not smoothly, they don't flow smoothly in nice curves. They're very crinkly, for lack of a real word. And so I think that those two things kind of play together to give it maybe just a little bit of a rustic appearance. And I don't mean, they're certainly not like the Kalmato cigars that I have come to appreciate over the past couple of years. They are a finished, well-made cigar, just not a perfectly smooth computer-generated press release kind of cigar that some folks may be accustomed to. I said the lumps are slightly very lumpy. They're slight in magnitude, but prevalent in occurrence. So there's a lot of them, but they're very small. It's not a huge peak and valley kind of thing. It's just very prevalent, but not prominent, I guess is probably a better way to say it. I did not find a lot of aroma, neither on the wrapper nor the foot. It was just very faint. Although, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, when I first lit it, had a very floral and as we discussed, even soapy almost kind of flavor at that first flush. That has kind of taken a step back. It's not as much in my face now. And that's not something I mind. I actually long ago sought out cigars, some Montesino cigars that Fuente makes, for that very reason, because I had gotten into some of those that had this particular kind of flavor and looked for those long and hard to find them, the Maduros. And then I never achieved that flavor again. And it was just one batch of them, I guess, that came out that way. But it is a flavor I appreciate. So that's not a negative comment in terms of that floral kind of taste.
It's funny you, not to divert us literally on the first segment of the show, but I also had a a love affair with a Montesino cigar that where I chased down as many of them as I possibly could at one point because of how unique I felt that they were. But it was not the Montesino Maduro. It was the Montesino Pyramid, the one that is kind of the hybrid Frankenstein's monster of the VSG and Opus. It's funny how Montesino is just one of those off brands that is probably the least known or one of the lesser known ones that is manufactured by Fuente, but both of us have had one of those sorts of ventures, I guess.
Yeah, and I remember it's been a decade or so, 10 or 12 years ago, I could buy those in Florida for next to nothing. They were readily available. And like I said, I stopped on my way home from a fishing trip and bought a couple of those. And it had this just delicate, lovely, thoroughly enjoyable floral kind of flavor to it that I had never experienced in that cigar or anything else. And I went back and bought the rest of what was there and could kind of get that back throughout a few of those, the remainder they had in that one box on the shelf. And then I kept buying them and just never got it again for whatever reason. Something happened with those. And I'm assuming it happened. I don't know. It had to be post-pack because I know how Fuente handles their cigars before packaging, and those cigars could have been, you know, shelves and meters apart throughout their aging. They color sort at the end. It has no relation to the cigars being together in the same conditions beyond the fact that they're in the same room before that. I don't know what happened, but it was good and I never got it back.
Well, I like Montesinos. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
My, I guess, introduction on this cigar, I think we're going to both share some thoughts here, is mine is solidly a 6x46 on the button for both of those figures. So it has a really spongy feel to it. I don't know if that's just a product of how it was rolled or if that's a and I suppose I should say it's also slightly light weight in the hand, or if this is a little bit more indicative of the fact that this could be, I'll call it a custom rolled cigar or a master rolled Cuban cigar that typically does have that that kind of spongy and light weight in the hand. It telegraphs kind of a custom Cuban rolled cigar, not only from that weight and the weight and the density, texture of it, but it also looks like it too. The wrapper on this thing, you had mentioned that it's very uniformly brown. I would say that this is Colorado or Colorado Maduro in that it's pretty – this is approaching what would traditionally be graded as a Maduro wrapper. It's not the black that has, in the last 25 years, kind of been in vogue to refer to a Maduro cigar. But it's a pretty dark wrapper on this. It's definitely darker than like milk chocolate. It has it's a little bit more akin to me to, gosh, I don't know if I can come up with a something that it's analogous to, other than something that would be difficult to convey. Maybe a little bit darker than corrugated cardboard. That's a pretty normal color that everybody has. I don't know. But it's pretty consistent in that the foot and the head are that same color. Where you have variations are over those, I guess, the texture from the binder below. Where you had mentioned that it's telegraphing what's going on below it, I get minor little shadows or reliefs or stretch marks, let's call it, where maybe the wrapper leaf is stretched or pulled taut over a bump below it, and it seems as if a shadow has developed, or maybe almost like a stress point where the leaf has gotten thinner, and so maybe it's a little bit more transparent, and it's showing a little bit of the darker color below it. It's interesting, but usually I see this occur when a cigar has a little bit of extra moisture to it, or when the wrapper leaf is a wet application. Most famously, Padron cigars typically seems to apply their wrapper leaves sopping wet over a bunch binder and filler. And that completely soaking wet wrapper seems to me at times to show some, not necessarily water spots, but some of the darker, almost shadowing from telegraphing that binder below. This has some of that, definitely. And it almost, as I said, mimics what you would think of as shadows on the cigar. But if you were to hold it directly in the light when there are no shadows, it still has some of those minor dark spots or specks. It's really an interesting appearance. I'm sure most of you have seen it. It's just, I find it hard to describe accurately. It's a beautiful looking cigar. I love this color. I love this shiny, oily sheen where it looks as if the wrapper is pulled taut over what's below. It has just a flavorful look to it. It's not the most beautiful thing in the world, like a top graded wrapper leaf, which is bordering on homogenized in how it's so uniform in color. But it just looks more rustic and flavorful, like it's going to be a good tasting wrapper.
It looks odd, but it looks genuine.
Yeah.
Hipsters not allowed.
Hipsters. Gosh. The only other thing that's large to mention here, or important to mention here, is that the foot of this cigar was closed. It was not cut down, and I don't know necessarily if what was I going to say? Oh, I don't know necessarily if this is something that is a commercially available cigar that would do that. I don't really know of too many that do. Maybe Gurkha makes one, but otherwise, that is yet another, I guess, example of this potentially being a Cuban master rolled or Cuban rolled, or excuse me, or custom rolled cigar. That's another kind of common characteristic. I can't quite. Sorry, go ahead.
The semi-closed foot you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tatuaje has done a couple that way in 1502. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, you're right. The Tat Black, the Corona Gordas had the closed foot.
But the Tat Black, yes, I totally agree. But theirs seems to be really, what's the word I'm looking for? Planned out and trimmed to look a certain way. I mean, they're very uniform from one cigar to the next, rather than just left on there and kind of folded over. And that's just au naturel.
I believe you commented on how the pre-light aromas were really minimized with this cigar. I would say diluted is the proper way of putting it. I could absolutely pick up a wrapper aroma, but it had a lot to it that seemed as if it was just watered down, diluted. It's hard to explain that, but if you were to think of a really prominent wrapper aroma that you've smelled in the past, but then made it seem watered down, that's the easiest way to describe it to me.
Aguada.
So I guess being in a plastic bag for 2 years might do that. So we'll see.
Mine was not in a plastic bag. Mine was loose in the bottom of the humidor. I mean, the bottom shelf of the humidor with the other Unbandits.
Well, do you have any opening flavor comments?
A little bit. I mean, I waxed a little poetic about the floral thing initially.
You waxed poetic?
More or less. As close as I get, anyway. Now, that, again, has really kind of taken a step back, kind of faded a little bit into the background. Very well behaved. There's a little bit of a tickle on the soft palate for me that almost makes me feel like I'm going to sneeze. That little bit of a, you know what I mean? When you retrohale, when I retrohale this, I get that little bit, a tingle or a tickle is all I'm going to say. It's not a burn. It's not, certainly not unpleasant. It's not painful in any kind of way. It's just a little, it just reminds me it's there. It gives me that little, you know, makes me pay attention to, am I going to sneeze or not every time I retrohale.
I absolutely am familiar with that. I don't get it from this cigar at all, but it's a somewhat common thing with other cigars.
Oh, we have our first hint from Zedman in the chat room.
Yeah, I appreciate that so much.
These cigars are at least 2 years old, so you're now smoking aged cigars. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think the date I had in mind was December of 2016 is when these came in. So they've been with us for almost 2 years.
Hey, do you know if Zedman's first name is Richard? Just curious. I don't know. I was thinking it just sounded like that might be the case. Oh, well. So I have not really commented on that floral flavor or aroma that you were saying was prevalent in your cigar. But when I initially lit this, I was just bowled over by the amount of that floral, just intoxicating aroma, and not intoxicating in the best way. I even asked you after you described it as floral if you thought maybe it could be slightly soapy, and you said, pardon me, that was potentially the next thing you were going to say.
Absolutely.
I still get that. And what I will fill in here is that from time to time with Cuban cigars, I get a developmental stage where the cigar tastes soapy. I've had it with Ramon Yonis, Bolivar, and Monte Cristo. I really have no idea what this cigar is flavor-wise right now, but it's pointing to me to be Cuban. Now, for a long, long time, I smoked many more Cuban cigars than non-Cuban cigars, so it's entirely possible that this happens with tobacco from other countries, but it seems to me like this is trending towards Cuban because of that soapy kind of transitional sick period flavor that I'm getting. The floral to me is really covering up anything else that could be there. I am just about 4 1/4 inches left on it, so I've smoked 1 1/3 inches in about 45 minutes.
Hey, I'll throw out there something else that's a more than a vague, a significant resemblance to that floral flavor, but in pipe tobacco. There are two noteworthy English pipe tobacco blending houses that make tobaccos that have very similar flavors in them. And I don't know how they achieve that or what they do that it happens that way, but the Samuel Goweth and Goweth and Olgarth are the two blending houses, and they make a lot of tobaccos. Their Virginias tend to have very similar floral kind of flavors to them, and even aromas before lighting. That this reminds me very much of those two companies' pipe tobaccos.
What I will say is I just kept a large amount of this in my mouth and retrohaled it, and I absolutely am going to sneeze.
Yeah, call me crazy.
So you're not crazy, by the way.
No. My mother had me tested.
All right. Well, so I will report back with some additional thoughts, but for right now, this cigar started out as being almost overwhelmingly soapy. Just about 2 inches in, that soapy flavor is much more akin to a floral flavor, though it is still partially soapy. It seems to be covering up much of what else is there. And I'm hoping that since it has kind of tapered down a little bit in the first third, it will continue to taper down and it'll be a nice soft closing to this cigar in the last couple inches. So let's hope for that.
I do have to also mention I lit after you and am ahead of you. I just have a hair's breadth over 4 inches of cigar left. So I have surpassed you.
Well, that's usually par for the course. You usually are a little bit faster smoker than I am.
Yeah. And the ash is holding together decently, but is a little bit flaky. Like it's not that the whole ash is not falling off the end of the cigar, but it is flaking quite a bit. If that matters to anybody, I've never been a big believer in too much reading into the ash.
You know, something that's of note here is I smoked this until the ash fell off, and yeah, I'm a hair over 4 inches, maybe 4 1/8 right now left. So this cigar was exactly 6 inches to me. It probably fell off at 1 3/4, but there is absolutely no way that the ash was more than 1 inch when it fell off. It shrunk a huge amount, probably 40-45%.
Wow.
So I just realized that when it fell off, it was not an overly large ash in appearance, but it had to be almost 2 inches of this cigar.
Huh. That's weird.
So we had, I think on the show we've talked before about, you know, whether, you know how sometimes you'll get an ash that, let's say if you're smoking a Robusto that's 48, the ash ring gauge would be like 46. It's noticeably thinner in diameter. This is the same sort of thing, except instead of diameter that has shrunk, it was the length, which seems to have compressed greatly here.
Yeah.
So
we have talked about that. I don't think we ever figured it all out, but how that comes into play.
I mean, you can make a pretty solid case for it being a large amount of moisture, so you have more evaporation and less solids, or a more complete combustion from a vintage cigar that has had more molecular breakdown and oxidation, so it can have completer or closer to more complete degradation of whatever the solid was. That seems to make sense, either of those. But beyond that, I couldn't tell you which it is.
Yeah. I'm noticing an incredibly thin, but also just as incredibly well-defined mascara line around the burn of this cigar.
That's funny, because mine is absolutely not. It is thin, but is not well-defined. It definitely bleeds for at least a 16th of an inch.
Oh, no. Mine looks like somebody took the ultra-fine point Sharpie and just drew a line around it.
Why don't you show me on your video? Oh, wait.
I am. Right now. Oh, it won't focus.
Jeez, it's just so black. Move the cigar away. Yeah. All right. Well, shall we go ahead?
And by the way, I don't think we mentioned this after recording started, but mine had a crack in the wrapper. I was worried that it may go through. You told me not to worry, that it won't be an issue, and you were correct. It has been no issue whatsoever, and I'm almost to that crack now.
Why am I not surprised?
That you were right again?
No, it's still, I wouldn't say again, because I'm just right about the same thing multiple times. I won't take credit for it more than once or for different things.
Gotcha.
Although, we haven't had the reveal yet. The reveal is right here, marked Unbanded, in what looks like it was written by Zedman's wife, because if he wrote this, he's got girl handwriting.
That may garner a comment or two in the chat room.
I sincerely hope it does.
But I bet anything, if he wrote that, he's not going to fess up to it now.
What was I going to say? We have not had the reveal. So my assumption as to what this is and the like, which was leading me to telling you not to worry about that rapper, may not be accurate. You never know.
Huh.
A coincidence.
You had some fairly, I don't want to say very strong, but you felt like you early on had some idea about the cigar. I think it sounds like you may have almost let the cat out of the bag, at least in the direction you're thinking anyway. You still feel that way?
Yeah, I do. I feel like I probably let the cat out of the bag. This seems to me, by wrapper shade, texture, sponge weight, it appears to me to be a bit of a trick from Zedman. I don't think this is a commercially available cigar that you can, you know, go and buy at an online retailer or a brick and mortar anywhere outside of Cuba. I think that this is a master rolled or custom rolled cigar, a Cuban cigar, and it would not surprise me if Zedman did that. I know that as a Canadian, he travels to Cuba somewhat regularly or consistently, is probably a better term for it, and does smoke these. So perhaps my assumption as to what he smokes, buys, would be willing to share or interested in finding out what our opinion is coloring my perception here, but it just seems like a lot of those things line up.
Yeah. I'm with you in my limited degree of knowledge over such things.
So there are a few rollers that I know Zedman really enjoys. And as this cigar progresses further, I'm getting into some of the profiles that I think he generally reaches for. I don't know. I'm getting a little bit of a chocolatey, more approachable, maybe dusty cocoa side sweetness to this, with a little bit more spice and tobacco flavor in this middle third. That floral pronunciation whatever the word is, has diminished a lot more, and I'm getting more of the rest of the profile to it. So we'll see if that continues.
Cool. I was hang on. I got motorcycles coming.
No problemo. I think that I'll probably end up finding out that this is Cabaguan Maduro, but assuming that it's not, or I guess assuming that it is, it doesn't matter. It's fun to just throw your thoughts out there. That's the whole point of this, right?
I'm just going to say it. If this is a Cabaguan Maduro, I think it's time we just hang our hats on that and call it.
Every Unbanded.
Just, at the very least, discontinue the Unbanded.
Yeah.
That is something he would do, and that cigar is the freaking chameleon of the tobacco world.
I buy Cabaguan Maduros if I'm at a new shop. Maybe it's just me, but it kind of seems like when you go into a cigar store, even if you're just looking around, you know, you're kicking tires, you've never been in the store, you just want to see. But I feel awkward if I go in there, spend 5 minutes, talk to the shopkeeper, and then leave without buying something. Yeah. I almost always will pick something up, and it's generally a Cabo Guan Maduro. If there's not something that I really, really want, I just reach for that.
So, just reach for something that you're not familiar with at all.
yeah, exactly. Oh, well, I know every time I have it, it's going to be a new experience.
This has not been since our last show, but I don't think I've talked about it. We have a new shop in Santiago, and it is one of a chain of shops that are typically oriented and built in areas and locations with clientele that are typically wealthy tourists that may not be the day-to-day purchaser of cigars around Santiago. And anyway, they open up a new location, and all of their other locations are in Punta Cana, La Romana, the airports, places like that, that where they can charge, you know, six times the normal going rate and get away with it. But they've opened up a location here in the city, and I went by there a few weeks ago, and the prices are definitely more than I would have paid for the same cigar in Florida. However, it was not bad at all. And in fact, they carry Romacraft.
Hmm.
And I'm so excited. I just about wet my pants. It's been so long since those have been anywhere close by, and they are reasonably priced. They're in the same range as stateside. So I'm almost 100% happy with it. The only thing that held me back was they didn't have the Aquitanes. I don't know if they're going to get them. They had the Cro-Magnon line and the Intemperance. So I'm holding out for the Aquitaine, but even so, I'll take what I can get.
Oh, I am getting flack from, this is weird, the YouTube chat that you're posting too many messages. Why don't you take a break and try again later?
You?
Yeah. I'll read it exactly. Oh, nope, it went through that time. That's weird. Oh, well, never mind.
Timer set somewhere.
So, did you say they do have Intemperance?
They do.
What are those costing? You have $15 a piece there?
No, they were like $7.25 U.S. dollars.
Holy cow. I feel like that's cheaper than I buy them for.
Well,
I am Chicago.
That's not a real price. Hang on a second. They were $7.25, but there's an 18% sales tax here. So, $8.55.
Still, that seems pretty darn good.
It does. And they actually had Fuentes that were not triple the going rate. They were just about 30-40% more than the going rate. But either way, I'll buy my Fuentes in Florida when I come home in the summertime.
You still have any Don Carlos?
Don Carlos? No. I haven't owned a Don Carlos. Well, that's not true. I did. I bought a couple in the States this year. But
yeah, of course you bought a couple in the States. Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, literally this morning. Yeah, I might be off on those Intemperance prices, by the way. It just seems like Intemperance is a heck of a lot more than the Cro-Magnon or Aquitaine whenever I'm looking. But
these were the
maybe that's not true.
I can't remember all of Skip's Vitola names, but the one you recommended to me in the Aquitaine rather than the Anthropology I'd been smoking is that same similar size. So kind of a Robusto with a tapered head on it.
Oh, I think that's the Mode 5.
Okay, something like that.
I feel like it's the Mode 5. Not a full taper, but it goes down to, let's say, a 44.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems about right. I think it's Mode 5. Yeah, I really like that size, man. That's a damn good size in that cigar.
It really is. And the Aquitaine, I was beyond happy in the Anthropology until you recommended this particular size, and I'm fully converted now.
Hmm. Well, Zedman says Mode 5 is a double torp. Hmm. Tapered at both ends. Yeah, no, I believe it is tapered at both ends, but it's just a couple rings smaller at the at the head, and it goes down maybe to a 42 at the foot. Not a major taper, if that's what I'm thinking of. But, oh well. I don't remember the exact vitola that I recommended to you, but what I'm envisioning, how it's tapering and not a Parejo where it's a straight-sided cigar, I know which one it is, at least, for between you and I. How about that?
Yeah.
Is that a location you get to regularly?
It's not a stop I would regularly make. I mean, but I don't have an aversion to it. I'm just not buying a lot of cigars these days.
Well, certainly. This is a question that I've had over the years. How is the Dominican Republic in terms of that tax you mentioned? Are they going to tobacconists, retail tobacconists, and saying, "Hi, you owe us $50,000 from all the tax in the last couple of years that you should have collected"? You know, or is it a legitimate? You have to show it, and it's very strict and by the book, and nobody's taking advantage of it.
I mean, the consumers pay it. I don't know how religiously the government pursues it, but I'm pretty sure if they're going to do their job correctly, it's going to be collecting taxes. Certainly not going to be fixing the dang roads. But there's pretty much, for the most part, a straight 18% sales tax on just about everything. Income tax here is it's essentially nothing. It exists, but there's a minimum you have to make before they want you to have to pay income tax, and 90% of this country doesn't even get anywhere close to that. So they're not collecting much income tax, but 18% is on pretty much everything. And for places like restaurants where people are actively doing something for you, like waiting at tables or whatever, there's an additional 10%. And that's basically just food and drink.
Huh.
You got to remember that if you go to a cigar bar where they serve drinks or food or whatever, that the price may actually be almost 30% more than what you see on a tag on a shelf.
Oh, I remember you telling stories about that.
But in the store where you're just Joe Q buyer walking off the street into a store, the price you see labeled on the shelf is the price you pay. The tax is normally always included in that, unless there's a big sign telling you otherwise. If it says 100 pesos on the shelf, 100 pesos is what you're going to pay at the checkout.
I'm actually surprised more places don't do that.
It just makes life easier.
Yeah, it seems like it, yeah. So, about taxes, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but you sent me an article early in the week about taxes in the United States, tobacco tax, and someone who was prosecuted for that. I know I'm putting you on the spot, and I don't have that article, but do you have anything from that that you're interested in talking about, or is that not so much a news story, just kind of an interesting quip you shared?
Well, it was only news in the sense that it was kind of some closure on a story from like 3 years ago. What's his name? Goldman?
Yeah, Alex, I think.
Alex Goldman, yeah. And we talked about, I mean, it's literally been years, I think at least 3 years ago, that he got into some trouble for the company he had been managing for some length of time was kind of doing some shady stuff with the state of California and how they were drop shipping things and when possession was taken or not taken and what the paperwork showed and had avoided paying a lot of taxes. And his case got through and he was convicted this year. He got 3 years for tax fraud. That wasn't really even show material, but yeah, that's what it was. And this is the guy we talked about him when this all went down, because they came in not with guns a-blazing, but man, they confiscated like
everything,
his cars, artwork on the walls of his house.
Yeah, they weren't messing around, man.
Yeah, they they were confident they had a good case, I suppose.
I remember that, I think, based on the cars. There was a conversation about the vehicles that they took that I seem to recall, but
I don't remember what they were, but they were not Hyundais.
What was I just going to say about this? Something about, do you remember that guy maybe 10 years ago or so who got busted as a rum runner bringing cigars back from Cuba?
No, I don't. I remember about 10 years ago, your airport got a big fiasco with Cuba. Oh,
good gracious. Yeah, that was 10 years ago. That'll be 10 years ago in a month. The end of November, I think. Boy, that was that put European cigar retailers out of business.
Wow.
That put a couple of those guys out of business, which is that's a whole other story. But yeah, I I was not buying at that point. I was married. I had stopped purchasing anything. I was just a bystander. And Lordy, O'Hare, they hit the mother load on that one. I read some statistic that it was over 500,000 cigars.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
That is incredible because that is one port of entry in America.
Yeah, one month. That is why it's incredible. For 30, I know O'Hare is not a small airport, but still, one airport. That's crazy.
No, I also think that is crazy.
I dug up the Alex Goldman story. It was reported in Cigar Aficionado. That's where the article was at. And so he was, according to court documents, he sold nearly $36 million of untaxed tobacco products over 7 years. Which means California did not get $14 million in tax revenue. So, yeah, government tends to come after people when you cheat them out of $14 million.
In Chicago, that'd be $3.2 billion. Oh, well. I can make a side business of buying and selling cigars and just not turning the money over on the day that people gave it to me and just make a living off the interest that extra money would earn me. Taxes are ludicrous. And I'm saying this as we have a Canadian in our chat room who I know is going to chime in any second here. Because Canadian taxes dwarf almost every state in the nation.
Oh my goodness. This came up on the forum. I posted it. I'm in a handful of different pipe groups, and I saw two pictures in the past couple weeks of tins of pipe tobacco with Canadian price tags on them. And both over $50 Canadian. For a tin of 50 grams, which is,
oh my gosh,
an ounce and 3/4 for more than $50. That is now you got to remember when I put most of my collection together, tins of pipe tobacco were $4 and change for the most part. The really ultra killer nice Greg Pease blends were about $8, and that was top of the line. And now, of course, they're more than that. Most tins run $8 to $12 in, generally speaking, U.S. through the online retailers, which, unless you live in a very large city, you're not likely to have somebody selling tins of pipe tobacco anyway, and you have to order them online. But I could not believe that. That's the craziest thing. I remember trading pipe tobacco with a couple of guys in the U.K. back 2004, 2005. And they wanted English pipe tobacco.
Mm.
But the taxes were so prohibitive that they could order it from the States and have it shipped over. And as long as it didn't get intercepted through customs, then it was far, far cheaper for them to buy English pipe tobacco from the U.S. that had been taken across the ocean and brought back across the ocean.
Jiminy Christmas. That's just ludicrous. Nearly 15 years ago. Well, you hear stories like that all the time. You do the math, by the way, on that. The Canadian pricing, it's like $400 a pound. how stupid is that? Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't even know what to say. It's just crazy.
Sedman just said the little tins of Skoll or Copenhagen. What do they call that?
Chaw.
No. There's smokeless tobacco.
Oh, yeah.
Skoll or Copenhagen are $32.
Oh.
That is not at all funny, but it makes me laugh.
Well, I'm just very happy that I am not somebody who uses that product.
Yeah. Same here. I never did. I tried twice, and it just whipped me. It crippled me. I was so ill. I was never again, and it's never happened again.
I have been very, very, very ill from cigars before, and that is quite enough. Thank you.
Yeah, I have been. I've been, with some cold sweats. I've never actually thrown up from tobacco use, but I've had a couple of moments when I thought I wanted to.
I have horked it, and I'm sure I have told at least one of the stories, but the most unfortunate of stories was I was smoking my first Opus X, and it was a little Power Ranger.
Oh, man. Those are killer.
Yep. Had no idea what I was doing. I was in my backyard with my dad right before they moved to Colorado. So it was 2001, I think. Maybe 2000. 2000, 2001, whatever.
You were like 8 years old at that time.
Six, yeah.
Okay.
So we were both having an Opus. it was like 10 o'clock at night. It was summertime. We were just BSing. It had been 3-4 hours since I had eaten dinner. And I started not feeling good. And I didn't know what it was. I thought maybe I had gotten food poisoning or something. I didn't know tobacco nicotine sickness was a thing. And my mom smoked cigarettes, and so she had a little bucket in the backyard on our patio with her cigarette butts. And I, like an idiot, didn't walk over to the grass to vomit. I grabbed the bucket of cigarette ashes and cigarette butts and just lost it into that. And needless to say, not everything stayed in the bucket. From the force of things going into the bucket, things that were in the bucket came out into my face. So that did not make that experience more enjoyable.
I imagine.
So it's amazing. I don't like Opus to this day.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Ugh. Oh, well. Well, I know I don't really have any other news things. Oh, no, we do have one news story. You want to get into that just a touch before we come back to this cigar? Or do you want to hit this cigar?
It doesn't matter to me. Whatever you like.
How much of the cigar do you have left?
I don't know. A little over 2 inches, maybe.
All right, let's hit this cigar then. And then maybe we can do a couple more things and then finish it after another inch or two.
Okay. Mine has gotten a little more astringent. The only good word I can say it with, I don't want to give it negative connotations. It's a little more drying on the palate. It's a little bit brighter kind of flavor. The tingle through the nose is still there, but I think I've just gotten accustomed to it, so it's not really physically impacting me, but I still can taste the same kind of flavor that I associate with that feeling. I thought it was kind of getting a little bit citrusy there for a few minutes, but that really didn't develop anymore. The floral flavor is completely gone now for me, and I'm not getting that at all anymore.
I'm getting the floral flavor, but it's much more balanced. It's not soapy. It's coming across as an element of citrus to you. Like there's a grapefruit tartness that I might say is a continuation of that floral flavor, but it has transitioned a little bit more to citrus to me, though it's still a bit sharp. So that is prominent, but not overpowering whatsoever. I'm still getting a little bit of that cocoa flavor from earlier with maybe even some toasty tobacco flavors to this, though that's pretty minimal. You have to search for that. I think I'm getting that more on the finish than anything else, but it's turned into a nice cigar. I've got, I'm going to guess I'm at 3 inches. Yeah, I'm at 3 inches left, and I enjoy this middle of the cigar a lot more than the beginning.
Yeah, same here. I can dig it.
Yeah, sure.
The story we have is not actually really filled out with all the details, but it has been reported around a couple of outlets, but it's really just kind of a blurb, and I only caught it because I have a handful of local things that I have going on through Instagram, and there were a couple of pictures posted from Saca, from it's a restaurant here owned by the Augusto Reyes family, which is a cigar family, and it's a restaurant and cigar kind of place. Not the place you want to go hang out and buy your cigars, but you can buy a cigar while you're there to eat dinner. You can enjoy the cigar in parts of the restaurant and whatnot. But they put up some pictures, and I recognized AJ Fernandez sitting there in the picture, and beside him was Hochi Blanco, cousin to Jose Blanco. There's like the family has half a dozen Jose Blancos in it. So Hochi is one of those. He goes by Hochi instead of Jose. And then subsequently, a couple more pictures were posted, and one included a new cigar that they're collaborating on. It's the San Lotano Dominicano, presumably Dominican version. I don't know to what extent or how much of the tobacco contained therein will be Dominican, because they haven't really given any details about it. There's a picture of the cigar banded, and it looks market ready. I don't think it was simply them just getting together to try and figure out what to do, because this cigar has bands on it already. It looks, as far as I'm concerned, looks like it's ready to be in a store right now. But like I said, they haven't really told us anything else beyond that picture. But the reason I was interested in it is just nothing but sheer curiosity on my part. Just wondering how this, what this actually means that it's a collaboration, because they both have factories. They both have leaf. Hochi is actually one of the leaf suppliers in this entire country. He supplies tobacco to countless cigar makers around the Dominican Republic and elsewhere for that matter. So they both kind of have one-stop shopping as far as cigar production, basically from seed to store. And so I wonder how the work is breaking down. If Hochi is just supplying some leaf, or you know, who's rolling it, who created this blend? Is it really a collaboration in that they, you know, both agreed upon? And I'm just, like I said, out of nothing but sheer curiosity, just wondered what that actually means, that it's a collaboration, since they both do everything day in and day out for themselves as well as several other companies.
Yeah, I would say that you can color me intrigued by that. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but I've come to expect a pretty consistent flavor profile from AJ. And I don't think that I'm the only one to think that. Maybe I'm wrong, but that seems pretty much like something you hear rumblings of at tobacconists. So to start saying that he's gonna maybe have a Dominican flair, or that there's Dominican tobacco or elements or something tying this to not being that classic Nicaraguan profile that he's so known for. I'm intrigued by that because I like what comes out of AJ's factories. I like what AJ generally has his hands in. I think that it is a little more homogenized than a lot of other manufacturers and rollers, but I'm sorry, manufacturers and brand owners, excuse me. But to now think about him doing something from a completely different region, that could be interesting. I'd like to see how his abilities transfer or apply.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree, and am on record many times saying that for the most part, I can identify AJ's hand in a cigar. Maybe not 100%, but a big part of the time. He does have a range that he generally plays within as far as his blending goes. And I'm certain he uses Dominican leaf here and there, but it's not been super prominent in a lot of his cigars. And at the same time, Hochi, who, by the way, is the owner of La Palma, which makes a lot of the Aging Room Boutique Blend cigars, or has made them in the past, and makes his own lines, the La Galera and the other one, Indian Head, I think was the brand he bought the trademark for a year or two ago now. He makes those and a handful of other things for other people. But he also has maybe not quite as narrow a range, but has a typical kind of profile. And the two don't have a lot of overlap. And I mean, AJ, when I think of AJ Fernandez, I think of really bold, bordering on brash, you know, crisp Nicaraguan kind of flavors. I don't think that when I think of Hochi Blanco. I think of more sedated, although at times potent cigar blends. They're not as bold with the flavors that come through. They're a little more approachable, a little more tranquilo in their presentation. Even if they're going to whip you, there is like a velvet hammer. You don't know you're going to get whipped, and you don't know it at the time. It's just when you're done with it, you know you have been whipped.
And you will like it.
Yeah.
I do think that I should. I'm not normally the guy who walks back my ridiculous opinions of things, but I do have to give AJ a little bit more clarity, or I owe him a little bit more clarity on my comment there. There's a lot of blenders who stay within their own backyard in terms of what profile they're comfortable and successful with. I mean, I am positive that we have said the same thing for Jose Garcia. I'm sure we have, that it tastes like a My Father product.
Absolutely. And I don't see that as a negative thing. And I'm all for innovation. I'm all for trying new things in the name of experimentation. It may work or it may not. I'm all for that. But if you do something and you do it really well, why screw that up? Just keep doing it well. Mm-hmm. Play with things on the side. But if I were AJ Fernandez, I'm having good success. I'm moving a lot of cigars. I have a gazillion blends that are selling well. Why am I going to mess with that? So, yeah, I don't think that's a negative thing. I think he has a very well-defined strength, a very well-defined set of talents that just work. And so it's a successful formula.
A very particular set of skills.
I will find you and I will kill you.
Jeez. Okay. I like your cigar. Yeah. That's a very good way of putting it. Well, I short of just waxing poetically again about conjecture and things we know nothing on, shall we just briefly mention what it is that we've been smoking since our last show instead of beating that dead horse about the Dominicana?
You cannot go and change the entire format of the show at one whack. And we stop waxing poetic about things we know nothing about.
Well, we know half of it usually.
Just enough to get a couple of nasty emails.
Just enough. You know, I suppose that might be a good reason to not fix my email, because you're the only one who's getting those nasty emails then.
I think that's the name of our... Whenever we reboot this show into something different, we call it Just Enough. that's the name of my autobiography. Just Enough.
We, you know what? And I need to, the floor joists above my head, I need to screw a two-person porch swing into that, so I can just sit there swinging, doing the show, shaking my fist when we rebrand as that.
Get off my yard, you bunch of hipsters.
Get off my live stream.
How do we get so far off out of whack in such a short time?
Dude, we have nothing to talk about tonight, and we're an hour and 20 minutes into a show. And yeah, we know nothing about this cigar. Keep that in mind. It's an unbanded. There's one bad news story. We're going to get off topic.
It's not a bad story. It's just enough.
And an anonymous contributor to our show chat during the live stream says that AJ Fernandez is the Nickelback of blenders. Hits, but very similar.
It's like AC/DC.
Yeah, that's another good one.
40-year string of hits with three chords.
Okay, you want to talk about getting off topic here? Tell me that Nirvana was intellectually stimulating music, musicality. It just wasn't.
No.
It was perfection and simplicity. It was the Italian grandma's amazing sauce that has four ingredients in it. You know, it was that equivalent. How do you make something so intoxicating with such a little amount of additives? So you can't knock three chords and a catchy tune. I mean, that
absolutely doesn't fit bad. Most of my young life, I spent thoroughly ensconced in AC/DC's music for the very reason you just described. And it's my philosophy on movies. I don't care about some super complex, deep message and symbolism. And if I go sit for an hour and a half and I'm entertained, I'm happy. My mind is busy enough the rest of the day. I just want something I don't have to think about or get tangled up trying to ponder. Just give me something to relax to.
I do have to say, since we're now becoming Rolling Stone's newest podcast, I am not ashamed to admit it. I love the Dave Matthews Band. I have for more than 20 years. I've been to dozens and dozens of their shows. When I have traveled to Seattle recently, I have gone to see them at the Gorge Amphitheater. I've gone all around the country and seen them. Love them. They are typically not the most musically, intellectual band. They have some really interesting things. They bring a lot of horns in, and they've got a violin, famously. Very vibrant bass player and an extremely talented backup guitarist. But they're not the guys that are known for being cutting-edge musicians. They have done a couple songs over the years. They're, 25 years of having number one albums that are in off time. They've got a couple songs that are in, five beats a measure. They've got some that are in seven beats a measure. And those are it's really, really interesting when you go from having an album which is 11 or 13 or 15 songs, and all of them are 4-4, and then one of them is whatever, 4-7 or something, or 8-7, where you've got eighth notes, but 7 eighth notes are making up a measure. And then you realize you're tapping your foot and you are consistently unable to tap it in rhythm. It's really intriguing to realize how much our minds associate music with a very rock and roll, with a very basic beat. And then when you change that up and when you get a little bit more complex with it, how hard that is for us to just have that be intuitive. It's really kind of cool.
That was a lot of math.
I don't play an instrument anymore. There was a time when I played a whole lot of cello and electric bass for a little while, but very poorly. And so I could read music. And so those are all holdovers, just about the three or four things that I remember.
I'm part of the 11 ninths of the population that doesn't understand fractions.
That's all right. There's got to be a joke about you not being part of the population anymore since you live abroad. I can't think of it, but
I'm part of a population.
That's true. Oh man, I am.
You want me to throw something?
I'm having a hard time in the chat room.
Yeah. Piccolo. That is not at all how you spell piccolo.
That is not how you spell piccolo. You were saying something.
Oh, I was making the world's weirdest, most strained segue that Abe Flores, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Guitar player.
He is a bass player, and I believe the building his factory in is actually owned by Hochi Blanco, who we were just talking about.
That's a random random fact that if it was, I guess you had bass player in there. So there's your tie-in.
And Hochi Blanco, we were just talking about him minutes ago.
Two topics ago.
It's still the same day.
You know what? Well, you're stretching with that. I guess you're right. The whole music conversation came in from the comparison of simple music to simple blending, both of which are enjoyable and people go for it all the time. Okay, I'll give you that. I stand corrected.
Time is not real. It's a man-made construct. That's what Kanye said this week.
I was just going to say, can I call you Kanye or no?
No, you may not. And you definitely cannot call me Trump.
Well, we'll leave that one right there.
For that matter, nor any other president.
Right, that's true. All right. You want to give a closing word of hopefully, close out the cigar.
Yeah, I am down, way, way down now. Let's see.
Hold on. Where? You want a break?
Nah.
Okay.
Let's just wrap up. I'm down just a hair under an inch now and still just smoking away delightfully. No ashiness, no foul flavors. It's smoking as if I were in the middle of the cigar, which amazes me when that happens. You know, a lot of times you get this far down into a cigar and you get those off flavors that just telling you it's done. None of that's happening. It's still very pleasant. It's not hot. If I put a finger like literally on the burn line, it's warm. But I got to get basically on the orange glow of the ember to feel any discomfort. I can't believe how cool this thing is smoking, but I'm still digging it. A lot of the same flavors. It has gotten a little more leathery, almost a little savory. In comparison to its earlier times. Again, I will preface that, or no longer a preface now that it's after the fact, but I will couch that with the comment that I never know how much of what I'm calling changes in a cigar excuse me, in a cigar are actually the cigar, and how much are just palate drift or palate fatigue throughout the cigar, and how much, you know, physiologically I've become accustomed to the smoke. But it's really good. It has calmed more. It's more sedate. I don't get any of that tingle anymore. Still digging it.
I will say very passionately that with every puff, this cigar has improved. The final third is by far the most enjoyable of the entire length of cigar. It is just about 2 inches right now, and this thing is lovely. I really, really enjoy it. And it is much more cocoa-y, milk chocolatey, even sweeter. It's lost some of the dustiness. It has lost some of the citrus and floral, and the soapiness is completely gone. And I am probably right at where you were when you said it was gone. Yeah, I'm 2 1/4 inches. And I believe you said just over 2 inches for you. Yeah. It was gone. So,
oh, son of a mother.
Usually,
ashed myself.
I guess the thing that I'm upset about is that you don't have a video stream tonight.
Yeah, I'm sorry you didn't get to see, me.
I actually just had to relight. This is much more toasty, and it reminds me of a non-Cuban cigar right now, and I need to try to figure out what that is. I'm vamping, but I'm deep in thought at the same time. Hold on 1 second. Give me 5 seconds. Hum the Jeopardy tune, would you?
No, I will not. But I will talk and laugh at some of the crap you're taking in the chat room.
It's almost got a mineral, flinty flavor to that as well, which is unique. Maybe like a number two pencil. When you sharpen a number two pencil, you get kind of that very specific aroma to it. I think I'm getting a little bit of that, of the shavings. Yeah.
I'm thinking back, maybe kind of bordered on a little bit of metallic kind of taste to it. My desk and computer now look like half the cigar shops in the nation just dump their ashtrays on it.
I didn't know you were going to go for all of their ash on your computer. I thought you were going to say it just looks like half the cigar stores in the nation. But
like always, I have a fan blowing across. So once I dropped that ash and it hit the desk, it just went everywhere. Hmm.
Well, I really, really am digging on this cigar right now. My final thoughts are, without a doubt, I have to lean towards a Cuban custom cigar. There was a time when I smoked a lot. Well, not a lot. I had a bundle of the Santos custom rolled cigars, and this final third reminds me of how those smoked. Santos were a little bit more aggressive than this seems to be, though it's sat in an open environment for 2 years, so that might be where I'm kind of losing some of that that strength. But I've just got to go that way. The mineral flavor, the pencil shaving type flavor, it could be a little bit more non-Cuban. I get that from time to time in some non-Cuban cigars. And sorry, Kip just sent me a picture of how much of the cigar he's got left. That is pretty impressive. But with how this is lining up and so many of the other factors, I'm gonna say that this is a custom rolled Cuban cigar. Would not be surprised if this is a Santos roll. It could be one of a couple other rollers. There seemed to be a bit of a trend in the early teens where Cuban custom rolls started to taste a little bit more familiar to each other. So I'm going to go there. But. And I forgot I have the reveal.
You
just
do.
To prove, you can see the original tape. There's no tears, nothing.
It's like a magic.
It's a Reynaldo Corona Gorda from November of 14. Reynaldo is a custom rolled Cuban cigar manufacturer. And this is from an early to mid teens in Cuba when, like I said, I had a feeling that these were pretty consistently, not pretty consistently. They're relatively reminiscent of other rollers around that same time. So
I'm not sure if this is just an added piece of information from Zedman or if it's another dig that we took so long to smoke these things. But he says these were very good 2 years ago.
No, I don't think that's a. I don't think that's a dig. I think that when he was sending them, he was thinking that we were going to smoke an awesome cigar, and this final third is awesome. This is really, really good, and what I would expect from Reynaldo.
I'm not super familiar with Reynaldo. I do know the name. I think I've smoked it before, at least one with that name on it. But
I have sent you some.
It has been a fantastic cigar. I mean, there's no way it's a shell of itself now.
they're a much more robust cigar early on, no doubt about it. And the final third with that strong sweetness, strong cocoa flavor, a toasted core, that is what the entire cigar is. But it builds up to the point where I could almost never smoke them down to 2 inches left because they are incredibly rich. I mean, this is the porterhouse of cigars in terms of richness, typically.
I sent you that picture, and I have continued to smoke it. I mean, it's still handleable, and it is very rare that I smoke a cigar down to this point. Christy used to say she knew when I smoked a Don Carlos because there would be a little circle burned out of my mustache. And that's kind of the experience with this. It's down about as far as I am able to still draw through the thing.
So I think that this is a really good cigar. Unfortunately, that soapy flavor polluted the beginning of it, but it has finished into really a saving grace. If this wasn't for the show, quite frankly, how I smoke, I had to put this cigar down in the first third, and I'd have missed the end of this, which makes me rethink my smoking tendencies, to be honest with you, because this is worth enduring that first third. It's that good right now. Thank you, Zedman. This is a pretty good experience.
I did not mind the floral soapiness in the beginning. I mean, it was bold, but it wasn't terribly overpowering. It wasn't off-putting to me. I kind of liked it.
So, Zedman in the chat room says that he did a blind tasting with friends here in Canada earlier this year, and we all agreed on that soapiness. It was nowhere near what it once was. And I'm going to ask him for the clarification. The soapiness is nowhere near where it once was? I'm guessing not. I'm guessing you mean the cigar, the enjoyability of the cigar was nowhere near where it once was. We'll see. Yeah, and there's no doubt about it. Cuban cigars change with time. They mature, they mellow, they blend, they become, I've used the analogy time and time again, like a river rock. And this is a cigar that I think really has mellowed and morphed almost more than anything. See, I just can't pick out Cava Guans, but I can tell you everything about this cigar.
We're going to get an email tomorrow that it really was a Cava Guan.
No, they'd have taken every moment to reveal that live.
Yes, but we would have cut that out of the show so nobody would ever know. Holy crap. I'm going to need like two brooms and a dustpan to get all this freaking ash out.
I'm just imagining you with brooms duct taped to each of your hands going like this on your monitor. Well, very cool. I have enjoyed this experience because it has educated me to maybe stick out a cigar a little bit more than what I normally do.
I'll agree that you should.
A man of many words. Close us out, my good man.
Okie doke.
Or wait. Right. Do you have anything that you've also smoked this week or not really? There's nothing in the notes.
Nothing too spectacular. I think I may have mentioned last time around, I had just opened a tin of Black Point, which is another Greg Pease blend. I've been smoking that mainly over the past couple of weeks. Nothing new, nothing fancy, nothing to write home about. I had a bad streak. I think three or four cigars in a row I lit that just for different reasons were not performing. They're burning wonky or plugged or whatever, and tossed them. I mean, I don't remember. It may have been four. It was at least three that I lit and didn't make it to the first inch and tossed it, and it just wasn't panning out. And so that kind of put a damper on the past 2 weeks for me.
You know, Kip, you should not do that. You should always give a cigar its due and take it the whole way through.
I did, and it was unpleasant. That was my verdict.
Well, I will save the two that I have written in my notes for our next recording because I hope to do more, a little bit more research along those lines. I have a few of them to enjoy. So I will keep in the theme of what I was going to talk about and get more into it.
DC said those were the cigars. I'm assuming he is saying what I was talking about were cigars he sent. That's not the case at all. All of these involved were locally produced, non-branded cigars. They just were not performers.
Do you want to close this out, or do you just want to stay here all night?
Well, we get 8 hours of recording here.
Well, that is true. Hey, I could go to sleep, get up, and be on my way to work and have had breakfast and work for a couple hours before that's done.
Well, I am taking just a brief moment to waste a lot of time because I'm having trouble remembering what the next cigar of the week is.
Oh, we're going to do the Ogre.
That is next show. Yeah. All right. As always, folks, we appreciate you tuning in with us, whether you're here live with us tonight or downloading the show down the road somewhere. If you want to come back and join us next time around for episode 187, we will indeed be smoking the Ogre. And it is not just any Ogre. It's that big gargantuan. I think it's 7x70,
we will also be smoking that on show 188, I believe, yeah. Right?
Either that or we need to go ahead and light it right now just to have it. I don't know that I've ever smoked a cigar, a 7x70. That's kind of well outside my normal range, which is a good thing to push the envelope a little bit. We'll see how it happens. These were sent in also probably close to 2 years ago. It's been a long time, by Jay Ledoux, if I'm remembering correctly. So we're going to see what happens. Hopefully I don't get maimed in the process. But I don't know. I think I can survive. Anyway, that'll be 187. If you want to get in touch with us in the meantime, you can get us by chat room's cracking me up. You can get us by email to craig@halfashed.com or kip@halfashed.com, or join us in our own little corner over on our forum on the website at halfashed.com, of course, and the normal typical social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're out there and available. Just give us a yell.
Well, and I'll give a minor little note here. I have an iPhone. I'm an iPhone user and recently downloaded the new operating system. And at which point was notified that I have an error with my half-ashed or cigar me email address. So if you have emailed me, apparently I am not getting that. So I'm going to get that put together this weekend. Kip sent me over some notes to kind of walk through an FAQ of issues that I might be encountering and see what we can do to get that resolved. So you have my word. I will look into it. So I expect many emails that are happy and nice and wanting to shower me with gifts. And you can send Kip all the nasty ones about how you think we don't know what we're doing. As always.
As long as they send you all the shower emails, then that's all cool.
Shower emails?
Yeah, I want nothing to do with anybody emailing about showering you.
All right. So in the fine words of our esteemed colleague and wonderful, wonderful, wonderful example here, the host of Dog Watch Cigar Radio, co-host of Dog Watch Cigar Radio, Mr. Dale Rausch, I will steal his line to close us out and let everybody know. Good night, and thanks for listening.